A reading from Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, word of life.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Wilderness Rising. When Jesus goes down to get baptized by John in the Jordan River, he enters into the muddy water, is subsumed in them, is submerged in them. They come over him and overwhelm him. In the language of Scripture, to be overwhelmed by water is a dangerous proposition. Water is a force of chaos and unmaking. It is a primal force. It is the place where scriptures start, deep waters which the Spirit hovers over in the beginning of the book of Genesis. It is those chaos waters that the disciples are afraid of when the storm threatens to capsize their boat while Jesus naps in the stern. It is those waters of chaos that the sailors are afraid of when Jonah naps and they wonder what to do. It is those waters of chaos that unmake the earth in the days of Noah, that wipe the face of the earth of all life, except that which is aboard the ark. Water, as we understand it, is a cradle of chaos and a cradle of life. Our science shows us that life begins in water, that the life of this planet crawled up out of the water, that new life rises from the water. And as Jesus is submerged in this water of baptism, what new life would rise from the waters as he rises up? Well, as he rises up out of the water, he rises up to a vision. Jesus looks to the heavens and sees them ripped open, torn apart, and a spirit like a dove coming and alighting on him, and then immediately driving him out to the wilderness. Jesus experiences a wilderness rising, a rising up out of the waters to a dangerous and untraveled land. When Noah sits on the ark for months with his family and the animals, he's surrounded by water. That surrounding by water is a return back to the beginning, that primal chaos of Genesis. God is doing a new thing, unmaking and remaking the world in this flood. And as the waters begin to recede and the ark comes to rest on the mountaintops of Ararat, Moses opens the window. And from his vantage point on the boat, upon an endless sea and a featureless horizon, it must have seemed as if the mountaintops themselves were rising up out of the water to meet him. The earth rising up from the watery depths, scoured by the flood and remade. It's a wilderness rising up out of the floodwaters, an empty land, devoid of all human life and culture and artifact. It's a wild place that greets Noah, a wild place that rises up through the waters, a wild place, but also a place of possibility, a second chance for the people that Noah would become and his family, a second chance for them to create a humanity that is close to God's heart and knows what it means to be in relationship with God. There is a wilderness rising around us, a dangerous and uncharted future. It might seem strange to talk about wilderness rising when for decades we've been part of a conversation that was kicked off in 1989 by Bill McKibben when he wrote a book entitled The End of Nature. He wrote about how there is no true nature or no true wilderness on this earth anymore. No true wilderness that isn't human touched, that isn't human affected. That we have entered into a new geological period on this planet, the Anthropocene. A period marked by good or ill, by human activity and its effects. And yet, though we can irrefutably alter our wilderness environment, even though the wilderness is changed by our influence, and we see that influence and that change through human-caused climate change, the wilderness remains that place of chaos, beyond our control, threatening to unmake us and remake us again. This last week, we have seen a cold grip the nation, even deep down into the heart of Texas. The stories have come out of dozens that have died, including an 11-year-old Houston boy who last Sunday went out into the snow and was elated to see the first snowfall of his life. Snow in Houston. But within 24 hours, this young boy was dead of hypothermia. As record-breaking low temperatures gripped the state and the country and caused the mobile home in which he lived to freeze without the power, that the power grid had catastrophically failed. He was among dozens who have died this last week due to these events. I went to school in Texas, college. My college classmates, and I have some Texas relatives too, my Texas relatives as well, were without power this last week for days on end. Homes that were as cold inside as they were outside, in freezing temperatures. Dear people, climate change is already making our extreme weather more extreme. And it's not just our weather that climate change and the activities that create it is causing to get out of our control. Well, we've never really been in control. It's been a dream to think we have been. But scientists are drawing the line between climate change and the activities that spread it, also to the rise in emerging new infectious diseases like the coronavirus. There is a wilderness rising around us, coming up, threatening to submerge us and unmake us. As Jesus rises up out of those waters of baptism, those waters of chaos, the Spirit says, "I'm not done with you yet," lands on him and then drives him out to be submerged in the wilderness. As Jesus goes into the wilderness, the Spirit drives him out to confront a question. In the Gospel of Mark, that question says, comes in a word, temptation. But the question really, as we hear it in the other Gospels, is this. What kind of Messiah will you be, Jesus? What kind of leader will you be? Who will you become? When you come back from this wilderness journey, you will embark on ministry. What kind of ministry will it be? You will face temptation in that ministry, temptation from the crowds. They will want to crown you. They will want to charge to war behind you, for you. What kind of Messiah will you be? Who will you become? That question of who will you become is the same question that Noah is faced with as he looks out upon a blank slate world, a fresh start. Who will you become, Noah? What kind of people will you be? What kind of legacy will you leave upon the earth? Noah spent 1 year to the day inside that ark. And we ourselves will soon surpass that year mark ourselves in pandemic restriction time. And as that question was put to Noah as he faced a rising wilderness, and as that question was put to Jesus as he was surrounded by wilderness, so the rising wilderness puts the question to us as well. Who will you be? What will you become? Who will you be when this pandemic is over? What will you discover about how you've changed in this time? About who we are in this wilderness? Martin Luther is said to have daily remembered his baptism, daily taken an opportunity to re-enter spiritually into those waters of baptism, those waters of unmaking and remaking again, those waters of repentance and a new start. And the truth is, that opportunity is always available to us. The opportunity to be unmade and remade again, to repent of what we have done wrong and embark on a new way of being. But we often disregard that opportunity. We often don't elect to follow that path of repentance, that path of changed hearts and minds and lives. Instead, we cling to what's familiar. Even if what's familiar is creating so many problems. We need a reason to change. We need some sign that we're supposed to. Well, dear people, Lent is an opportunity for you to find that reason. So we stand now at the beginning of this season of Lent. We stand at the beginning of this time of wilderness. And as the chaos of life and this challenge of Lent surround you, and as you rise up out of that chaos, what will you rise up to become? Will you follow the path that Jesus has left for you to follow through the wild? Will you follow that path that leads past the questions of who you will be and to the answers of service, compassion, and love? Will you follow Jesus along that path that leads him to a place where he can call out evil by name and cast it out? Will you follow that path that leads to a place of self-sacrifice and a rejection of self-importance? Will you follow that path to the cross? For the choices that Jesus made in that wilderness would lead him there, to that place of ultimate self-sacrifice. But a sacrifice that was made so that all the world might be drawn together in him. That all of creation might be offered an opportunity to be redeemed in him. That all of creation would be saved in him. And in that beautiful, diverse crowd of creation, of all the people of the earth, and not just the people, but the creatures, every crawling thing that crawls, every bounding thing that bounds, every jumping thing that jumps, every stomping thing that stomps, every creature that has the breath of life in it, being redeemed into that relationship with God. As all of those creatures gather around, just as they did the day that Moses disembarked from the ark, gather around, restored again, remade into this beautiful, beloved community, lit by the glow of the diverse colors of the rainbow. Will you follow that path that leads you there? To a place that knows no boundaries. To a place that knows no boundaries for love. When Jesus is driven out into the wilderness and the wilderness rises up around him, it is a challenge. It is a danger. And truly, the world is dangerous and challenging. But in that challenge, Jesus chooses to become who the world needs him to be. Will we become who the world needs us to be? Or will we continue on the pathway that we're on, seeking to satisfy ourselves? This is a time of repentance, my people. Dear people, if you want to give to those affected by the storms in Texas this last week, I encourage you to do so. The ELCA Lutheran Disaster Response is a fund for U.S. severe storms that goes directly to those who have been affected by the storms this last week. If you're looking for places to give, that's one. You can give there online. You can give to the church marked for Lutheran Disaster Response, and we can see to it that it gets where it needs to go. We are together in this wilderness, and together we will move forward in the light of the Christ, the light of the rainbow, the light of love. Amen.
With me when my